It is a life which is more spiritual, more congenial and more beautiful in every respect than the one on earth. When you have truth in your heart, you are happy. When you have selfishness and ignorance in your heart, you are sorrowful. Sorrow will follow you until you say, "Not my will, but thine." When others come in your way and try to keep you down, rise and say, "No, I will be firm, and I will conquer," and then you can create happiness and contentment in your soul, and you will have happiness around you. When you think only of selfishness and greed, you have sadness and sorrow, and you will have to burn these out by suffering, and say, "Not my will any longer, but thy will." Let us pray to God, because he is all in all. He is with you all. We could not live 1 minute without that wonderful power. Do not let us pray to anyone else, because God is within ourselves. You do not need to go anywhere except your own heart to pray to him. Have communion with God in your heart, and you do not need to take communion outside. When you have learned the truth, then communion is within you. You do not need to be reminded to take communion with God, because you know he is there to help you. You have opened your heart to God and he has heard you, and you can then commune with him. Communion is not understood as it should be. You take communion. It is only a reminder that you should be united with God. When you have learned and have progressed higher and higher, you do not need a physical reminder, because you understand. When you have communion with God, you do not need bread and wine. You cannot go anywhere without God. God is in the air, he is everywhere. You cannot walk on the earth without stepping on his creation, and you should try to understand his work. There has been so much theorizing. One has one theory, someone else another. One goes into this corner, another into that corner, and one says this is the proper way, and the other says that is the proper way. One has one creed, and one has another. They go around in a little circle and forget they are in the midst of life, of God himself. When you do a kind act to another, you do it unto God, because he is one part of God and you another. We only serve God when we serve others. Live to serve and do all you can for others, then you will progress in understanding. To go to church to serve God is only to remind you of what you should actually do. Act, and do good to those who are in trouble. Why should you go to any place to worship? Enter into thy closet and pray to thy Father which is in secret. Pray earnestly and your prayers will be heard. Do not pray idly, but pray earnestly. Live so that people will know you have done your duty in life. On the spirit side, we find it is difficult to open the spiritual eyes of many. They are also blinded by creeds and dogmas that we have to do all within our power to help them understand that God did not make dogmas and creeds, but that God made the universe, and the people in it should worship him alone, without any creed or dogma. When we understand and realize love, not what people call love here, but the love which springs out everywhere, then love is like the sun. When there is love in your heart, you are like a sun to others. You have found God in your heart, and this shines forth just as the sun shines on all. Those who have only creed, dogma and selfishness, and are ignorant, feel gloomy. They have a fear of God, a fear of everything around them. They have not opened their soul's eyes to ask for the light, for understanding of God. These come to the spirit side of life in darkness and gather together, one group here, another there, all in deep gloom. They pray and sing and moan from morning until night, year after year. It is very difficult to make them understand that they have passed to the spirit side of life, very hard for them to wake up and see the mistake they made in accepting dogmas and creeds. They have clothed themselves with gloom and have shut out the light that should have been shining throughout their lives. If you love God in the sense I have spoken of, then you will be happy. This is Dr. Root. Good night. Another extract is taken from a lecture recently given by Dr. Root to a gathering of earthbound spirits, as well as to our circle. Experience, January 1, 1924. Spirit, Dr. Root. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland. Let us concentrate for happiness and contentment, for the betterment of the world. Let us never look backward, but forward. Let us all try to do the best we can and help others. If little groups such as this one would concentrate in an effort to cheer the world would be better. This little light of concentration does not seem much, but it will do much good for the ones in darkness and those in trouble. If all the churches would have concentration circles to help the people and would give them cheer and courage, and try to help them into a brighter condition, instead of condemning them and telling them they're lost forever if they do not believe a certain doctrine, the world would be much happier and better. You must find yourselves within before you can find yourselves without. You must be born again, not in Jesus Christ, you must realize your own self and that you are a part of God. God gave you light and understanding. Go out and help the people in trouble and those who have not awakened to an understanding of God. Do not merely believe in God but find Him within yourselves, then you will not need belief. Belief and faith are only the key. If you have the key in your hand and do not know where it belongs, do not know which door it opens. If you have only faith and belief, and nothing more, you only hold the key but do not use it. Seek for knowledge until you can open the door of wisdom and understanding. Most people have the key but they only hold it in their hands and do not use it. They say, "If I believe in God and Jesus Christ, I will be saved." When the time comes for them to pass to the spirit side of life, they merely hold that key, they have only belief. And they find themselves in darkness because they have not used the key of understanding that God gave them with which to investigate and find God within themselves. You do not need to go anywhere, you must open the door of your own heart. Find God and find that you are a part of that wonderful power. When you open the door, you have power and strength and health, you have everything, and the strength of God's power will flow in and you will do wonderful things. Christ was a great teacher. But do people carry out his teachings? They believe, but they do not do what he told them. Each one is a part of God, and when you do what you can for others, you love God and worship him by so doing. The people and the churches should unite as one power and help each other and try to conquer selfishness. Spread the truth, find God within yourself and open your heart to him through understanding. You have power so far as your mind has developed. If you try to develop for more power, you will have it. Widen out and try to know God's wonderful mystery in the world. Let us find God in nature, everywhere. Look at a snowflake, it is wonderful. It has many beautiful designs. Who made it? It is so natural that people do not realize its beauty. They say, it is just snow. When individuals step out of the physical, the worst hindrance they have is desire, which must be overcome. Creeds and dogmas hold them down, they are not free. They are, as Jesus said, bond servants, and will be held down. They think, when they pass to the spirit side of life, they will go to heaven. Stop to think, where is heaven? Christ said the kingdom of heaven is within you if God dwells there. The majority believed that what you call death is a long sleep, and many who have not learned the lesson of life go to sleep. Some will sleep for years because they are self-hypnotized. They think, I am dying, and I will go to the grave and stay there until the last day, and then will be awakened. Others pass to the spirit side of life believing in certain creeds and dogmas. They go to certain places in the earth sphere where they sing and pray and do not progress any further. They go over and over the same things. It is only mouth prayers they offer. Sometimes they remain in that sphere for years. Sometimes they go about in the earth sphere and try to convert people. They attach themselves to some mortal and that mortal will be called insane on religion. What is done then? The victims are sent to the insane asylum in Lethe for the rest of their lives. They will not be free from the obsessing spirits until the body dies. Then those spirits often attach themselves to other mortals. Let us understand the truth. Let us do what we can to help ourselves and others to an understanding of God. Worship Him everywhere. Let us look at the sky and see the beautiful planets and stars. If this earth disappeared tomorrow, the suns and stars in the heavens would be just the same. This earth would not be missed. Do you think God sits on this earth and controls nothing more? No, let us think, and understand and study. Let us all worship God in His whole universe. There is life everywhere. The grandeur of the heavens cannot be described, the wonderful stars in the heavens, the planets and all the universe. Look through the microscope and you will find you are in another world. You will see germs, one or two of which will kill a big body. They are all under one power, God. Some say, why did God make all these germs to torment humanity? They must be, in order to have you realize and think and overcome. When you have trouble and try to overcome, you become strong. A child that is protected constantly by its parents and sent into the country grows up in a fine atmosphere. He is good because he has had no temptation, but he has no knowledge that he is good. A boy from the slums, who has had trouble, will more readily develop into a man who can conquer than the one who has been protected. He will be strong and able to help others. Let us find ourselves. Let us all concentrate and try to help and give light to everyone we find needing help. Worship God in his true sense and not in a little narrow belief. Let us add knowledge to our faith. You are the bond servants that Christ speaks of. He was a wonderful teacher, but you believe in his blood and not in his teachings. Who killed Christ? The very ones that belonged to the church. They did not believe in him. Christ is an allegory. He is the truth. Christ is born within you when you have attained understanding. Then you will see, and know, and realize God. When you pass to the spirit side of life, you will have knowledge and you will go into a world that is far more beautiful than this. You can then reach the spirit world. You do not need to call it spirit world, some object to that name. Everyone is a spiritual being. You may call it the higher sphere, you may call it heaven, but heaven is not a place. If you think you are going to heaven, you will have to take it with you, because it is a condition. When you have suffering, you are in hell, and many have a hard struggle to get out of that hell. When you are happy, you are in heaven, the heaven within yourself. You have trouble and sickness, but everything is to help you learn to find yourself. When you have found yourself, within yourself, you can conquer all conditions from without. You say, I am very sick. You attract those forces unto you, and after a while your own mind has created your condition. You are a part of God, the wonderful creator. What you think, you create. You have power and you can use it for good or evil. If you have trouble, disease, or suffering, and have not learned to throw it off, you hold it to yourself. Then you become sensitive, and after a time you draw influences around you, and these in turn throw disease and bad thoughts on you, and you are bound. First, find God within yourself, then you will have power to rise. Trouble, sorrow, sickness, obsession, everything can be conquered after you find the truth. Christ is born in you and you can conquer. When you have found Christ within yourself, you will still have struggles. Others will say, do this, or this, and you will be wise. Some will say, overcome the world, overcome. There will be a cross, because there is a tempter. You have found yourself, but the tempter speaks to you, do this. Come with me and I will show you the world and happiness. Here is the cross which shows Christ is born within you. Jesus, the Son of Man, must be crucified on the cross of matter that Christ, enlightenment, may live. When you have reached that stage, you see everything as good. You cannot see bad. When you look back, you see that what you thought bad only taught you to understand God. Should you condemn it? No. If you had not had that experience, you would not be where you are now. You must teach others and help them to rise with you. If everyone would do that, the world would be happier. Let us send out thoughts that all may conquer and that they may understand. You should strive to gain knowledge of God's finer forces. Find yourself and you will find God. Before I go, I want to say that we have a room full of earthbound spirits. I often talk to them to help them. This group we have here tonight are spirits we could not waken because they could not see us. A spirit in ignorance cannot see an intelligent spirit. So we have to bring them here. I talk through this body and they hear me, but they could not hear me from the spirit side of life because they had no understanding. Every time you have circles here, we have more spirits present than we have mortals. When they see an earthbound spirit control, they learn their first lesson, and then we can take them to the spirit side of life and help them find happiness. We are never idle in the spirit world. Mind cannot stand still. God's wonderful thoughts go on. Planets do not stand still. All is development. Mind is never inactive so long as one tries to develop. This is Dr. Root. Good night. For many years, upon various occasions, a symbolical morality play has been given through Mrs. Wickland by a group of spirit actors. They are 12 in number, 11 actors and a director, all of whom were Russian Slavonic when in Earth life. Under the direction of the stage manager, they successively assume control of Mrs. Wickland with such ease and rapidity that the change is scarcely noticeable. The play is given in the Russian Slavonic tongue, a language which Mrs. Wickland herself has never heard, but which is spoken perfectly through her by these actors, as has been stated by different persons witnessing the play, who are familiar with the language. The costumes worn by the spirit actors, and unseen by the average mortal audience, have been described by clairvoyants as being authentically Russian Slavonic and very beautiful. These actors, with one of Mrs. Wickland's guides as interpreter, have given the following account of the morality play and its purpose. We are 12 actors controlling this psychic sensitive in order to prove spirit return and spirit control, and that we can act as we acted while in the body. We come to help people understand that we are still living, that we are not dead but are just as active as we were when in Earth life. We give this play in the spirit world for the earthbound spirits, many of whom do not realize they are dead to their Earth life. We find them in the sphere next to the Earth, often in a semi-sleep. Preceding the play, we have music by excellent musicians. This wakens the earthbound spirits, one after the other. They rise slowly, not realizing where they are, but the music brings them a little understanding of the higher life. We then play our drama as a lesson to these spirits. Each character is symbolical, showing that selfish, trivial and debasing attributes must be overcome before spirits can progress. The leading lady represents love, the leading man, her lover, personifies truth. The ruffian typifies selfishness, the elderly maiden lady depicts frivolity. The officer represents justice, and the judge, wisdom. The witnesses in the court trial portray knowledge, drunkenness, misery, sickness, miserliness and robbery. Love. The young maiden cherishes a true, deep affection for the hero. She dwells in the same abode with frivolity, who entertains an unrequited love, sentiment for selfishness. Here is shown the close association in life of the true and false. Truth enters and proposes to love, who accepts him. He then departs and is followed by selfishness, who desires love for himself. When his advances are rejected, frivolity, with her most fascinating coquetries, endeavors to charm the ruffian, selfishness, from love to herself. This angers him and he threatens her with death, then leaves in a rage, swearing to kill his rival, truth. Love writes a frantic note of warning to her lover and hastily sends her servant to deliver the message, but the servant arrives too late, for selfishness has attacked truth by the wayside and fatally wounded him in a sword duel. Truth dies a lingering death, representing the murder of man's higher nature by selfishness. The servant hurries back to his mistress with the news of the death of her lover. She rushes to the place of the attack and, finding truth dead, falls on her knees beside him. With a prayer she draws her dagger and, stabbing herself, dies. When selfishness sees that love, as well as truth, is dead, he becomes infuriated, declares there is no God and swears that he will have fullest revenge. An officer, Justice, arrives, and handcuffing the murderer, takes him into custody, after which follows the funeral of the lovers. Justice brings selfishness before the judge, wisdom, and at the trial the witnesses, knowledge, drunkenness, misery, sickness, miserliness and robbery all testify that had it not been for selfishness, love and truth had not died. Wisdom then banishes selfishness from the land. During a psychic circle held at our institute, in May, 1923, at which Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and Lady Doyle were present, this play was given, and later, in his book Our Second American Adventure, Sir Arthur briefly described the play, commenting further, "It was certainly a most extraordinary performance and left us all in a state of amazed admiration. I have seen all the greatest actresses of my generation, Modjeskar, Bernhardt, Dewes, Terry, but I do not think that any one of them could have played these 11 parts without a stage or a costume in so convincing a way. The spirit's own account is that they are a band of players on the other side, who represent this play before the undeveloped dead in order to teach them the moral, and that they use the wonderful mediumship of Mrs. Wickland in order to demonstrate their power to us mortals. It was very impressive. Recently these invisible performers have presented through Mrs. Wickland another drama, The Soul's Passion Play, symbolical of the development of the soul. In the morality play, selfishness kills truth, and causes the death of love, while in The Soul's Passion Play, truth and love conquer selfishness. The Soul's Passion Play represents the contest of the soul with opposing principles and symbolizes the victory of truth and love over selfishness through understanding, and the attainment of bliss. Dwelling in the home of happiness, with obedience as the servant, are kindness and friendship, father and mother of the maiden, love. Truth, a young man, admires love, while selfishness, another maiden who is found in the same society with love, but whose father and mother are hatred and envy, living in the home of unhappiness, boldly attempts to attract the young man to herself. Truth finally wins love and they are united in marriage, after having sent selfishness away from the home of happiness. Selfishness, overcome by jealousy and humiliation, goes to seek some means of revenge in the slums, where, in the home of misery, lives the villain Revenge with his father and mother, temptation and evil. Together, as time goes on, they plot that selfishness shall return to the home of happiness and, pretending repentance, wait for an opportunity to steal the child Victory, which has been born to love and truth. The child is to be given to Evil, who will bring him up in squalor and sordidness, forcing him to commit crimes and finally become imprisoned. Selfishness will then go to Love and Truth, tell them of the disgrace of Victory, and, with revenge, gloat over the ruin of the home of happiness. Selfishness succeeds in stealing Victory, who, for some years, is cruelly mistreated by Evil and Temptation, but is at last discovered by his parents and taken away from the home of misery. Enraged at her defeat, Selfishness becomes insane through anger and dies a violent death. Truth and Love bring Victory back into the home of happiness, and there, with Selfishness vanquished, they dwell together in bliss. Chapter 17. Conclusion. Demonstrative evidence clearly indicates that much which now seems mysterious can be brought to light by appropriate research. The supernatural is only the natural not yet understood. Psychical research should be placed on a scientific basis, and made safe and sane by eliminating the dwellers on the threshold of the unseen, who, through deception and falsehood, frequently pervert the truth which the enlightened spirit intelligences are constantly endeavoring to convey to humanity. Advanced intelligences on the invisible side continually urge that broad-minded investigators on the physical plane cooperate with them in establishing research centers in asylums, churches, universities and other institutions. It is imperative that psychical research should be in the hands of men of science, men who are willing to set aside prejudice and, with unbiased minds, weigh the evidence and classify findings. In the Chicago Daily Tribune, March 30, 1905, the late Dr. I. K. Funk, of New York, urged that inquiry be made into cases of mental phenomena, and, after reviewing the work which we were carrying on in Obsession, concluded with an appeal to the press for further investigation. "Let us remember," he said, "a single scientifically demonstrated fact of the existence of even an evil discarnate spirit will do more to prove the continuance of life after death than all the sermons on immortality that have been preached in the last 10 years. That single demonstration would be the death knell of materialism. Genuine cases, wherever occurring, should be searched for by the press more than if they were lumps of gold and should be verified if possible to the minutest incident, and given, not jocosely, but seriously, to the world. Why will not the press soberly take up this matter? Rightly handled, there is sensation in it worthy of the most royal purple journalism. Gladstone was right when in his membership letter to the Society for Psychical Research he said that this work of investigation is the most important work which is being done in the world, by far the most important. Scientific bodies, willing to thoroughly master and observe the governing laws, could readily obtain evidence similar to that presented in this volume. Especially could such evidence be obtained in institutions for the insane, as most inmates of the same are potential psychics who could be developed into instruments for psychical research. After having dislodged the ignorant, obsessing spirits, the psychic faculties of the sensitive could be developed by attracting intelligent spirits, who are always willing to cooperate from the invisible side, and who will protect the instrument against untoward results. Psychic research circles, formed to learn the truth of life and spirit existence, should be of inestimable value to churches, for such investigation would prove positively the continued existence of the soul, and convert mere faith and belief in a life hereafter into definite knowledge. The practice of calling for specific or particular spirits should not be indulged in, as this may lead to deception by mischievous spirits, who may step in and attempt to impersonate the spirit called for. It should be left to the guiding intelligences to bring whatever spirit is suitable for demonstration, and interesting information will be given from time to time by the advanced spirits, clearly showing the difference between intelligent and ignorant entities. As a nucleus for more comprehensive investigation, the National Psychological Institute was organized and incorporated in Los Angeles, California, for the purpose of placing these problems on a rational, scientific basis. This institute, a spiritual clearinghouse, has no interest in cultorism of any kind, but is striving only to obtain data, in the hope of encouraging other institutions to take up similar work, as an enormous field for research has been opened by our experiences. It is not presumed or held that this avenue of research is a panacea for, or a full explanation of, all mental aberrations or obscure mortal vagaries, but indicative of the need for fuller knowledge of the role which the invisible world plays in human problems. End. From 1924. 30 Years Among the Dead by Carl Wicklund. This edition was created and published by Global Grey. Copyright Global Grey 2018.